Now, one good thing that happened out of the Bretton Woods system is the establishment of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Let's look at that. The World Bank was formed due to the deliberations at the Bretton Woods Conference for two main objectives. Number one, to lend money, especially to the war-ravaged countries. It was not that only Europe was devastated. Many countries across the globe were devastated because of the world wars. And this is where the World Bank had a very important role to lend money to war-ravaged countries. Not only to that extent, it also had another role in development of economies of the poor countries. And for that reason, the World Bank got two special arms. One is the International Development Association, popularly known as the IDA, and the second is the International Finance Corporation, popularly known as the IFC. The World Bank works on a conservative 1-to-1 debt equity ratio. It is permitted to lend with the guarantee of the governments of member countries at a very, very nominal rate of interest, that is 0.5% over its borrowing cost, and a currency its lends is in the basket of currencies. As we see, it has two main arms. The first one is the IDA, International Development Association. The International Development Association is the soft lending arm of the World Bank. It gives the poor member countries 50 years zero interest loans, and it charges only a small handling fee. And where are these resources raised from? The resources are coming from donations from the developed rich member countries. So the support that is provided by the rich member countries is actually utilized in the form of 50-year zero interest loans with a small handling fee to the poorer member countries. The next important arm is the International Finance Corporation, popularly known as the IFC. The IFC supports private or joint sector projects in the member countries. It assists both in equity as well as in loan. So the developing countries especially are reaping great benefits from this support that is provided to the private or the joint sector projects. The International Monetary Fund has main objectives, that is to promote the international monetary cooperation, to facilitate expansion and balanced growth of international trade, to promote and maintain the high levels of employment and real income, and to the development of productive resources, as well as to establish an international monetary system with stable exchange rates. It also aims to eliminate existing exchange rate controls, to bring about the convertibility of all currencies, to assist in the establishment of multilateral system of payment, as well as to make the funds resources available to the members. There is an IMF code of conduct for the member countries. Each country had to agree upon a certain pair value for its currency measured in terms of gold. Each member country was given a quota in the IMF's capital, and in situations where the foreign exchange rates were inadequate, the country could draw from their quota, specifically through the special drawing rights known as the SDR with the IMF. A member country experiencing a deficit would sell its SDR to a surplus country. So these SDRs would enable countries to raise loans and get the necessary foreign exchange for stabilizing their forex. In the previous slide, we saw why the Bretton Woods system was actually implemented. Number one reason, to stabilize the foreign exchange market. However, for certain reasons, it collapsed. And the very purpose for which it was established got defeated, and this could not provide a solution to the disturbed foreign exchange market. So one more attempt was made in the form of International Monetary Conference and the agreement that came in the form of the Smithsonian Agreement. The intention of the Smithsonian Agreement was to return to fixed parities. USA agreed to devalue its currency, and likewise, Japan and Germany also revalued their currencies. United States refused to reinstate the convertibility of US dollars into gold. The currencies were pegged to the US dollars with a trading band of plus or minus 2.25% rather than the 1% used earlier. The capital inflows could therefore not be controlled, and hence the Smithsonian agreement could not last for more than a year. And this gave rise to a new system, which we call it as the floating rate system. So after collapse of the fixed parity system, countries began to float their currencies. The value of the currency was determined by the demand and supply. The rates were managed by the central bank by intervening whenever they felt that the exchange rate is going against them. Rupee, which was originally linked to the pound, later it got delinked from the pound because it got depreciated, and it got further linked to the basket of currencies. The floating rate system, which got initiated, has continued in its refined form till now. Next, we saw the birth of the European Monetary System, properly known as the EMS, which is created for stabilizing the exchange rates between different European currencies. The European Currency Unit, ECU, was planned to be a reserve and payment currency between the EMS member central banks. The ECU was a currency basket of 8 EMS currencies plus the pound sterling and the Greek drachma. The weight of each currency was determined by the economic criteria. The value of ECU was defined in each of the constituent currencies by means of an official parity. The central banks of the member countries agreed to enforce bilateral rates, but with variations on either side of UN parity up to around 2.25%. Italian lira was 6%. Another important entity took birth in the form of Asian Clearing Union in 1974, headquartered in Tehran, Iran. It was the initiative of the United Nations Economic and Social Commission for Asia and Pacific, popularly known as the SCAP. The original participants were the central banks of Iran, India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka. This union sought to provide a solution to foreign exchange shortages and inconvertibility of currencies in the region. They agreed upon important things like payments when it comes to imports and exports to be in the currency of the importer or exporter currency or in the Asian Monetary Unit. When it comes to settlement between the participant central banks, it were done also through the Asian Clearing Union. What was the objective of Asian Clearing Union? To facilitate payment for the current international transactions within the SCAP region, reducing or eliminating your use of extra-regional currencies to settle each transactions by promoting the use of participants' currencies, affecting the economies by the use of foreign exchange, reduction in the transaction cost in making the payments, and contributing to the expansion of the trade and promotion of monetary cooperation amongst the countries of the area. Like the Asian the various organizations we saw, a new group of seven got established in the early 1970s. The IMF administered the fixed exchange rate system collapsed. Till the 1980s, no international control over exchange rate was there. However, in the 1980s, large movement in exchange rate continued. In 1985, the United States convened a meeting of finance ministers of the five major industrial countries with Italy and Rome, and they agreed to bring the US dollar down, and the countries would intervene to achieve the objective. So this was a background from early 1970s for the creation of Group of Seven. What happened in early 70s? IMF administered fixed exchange rate collapse, 80s. No international control or exchange rates in the 80s. That was still the 80s. In the 80s, large movements in exchange rates continued. In 85 specific, United States convened a meeting of finance ministers of five major industrial countries with Italy and Japan, and this was actually very, very important step. And what they agreed was to bring the US dollars down and the countries would intervene to achieve the objectives. Considering the overall development across the globe, certain important developments also happened in India in the form of the liberalized exchange rate monetary system. Because the basic reason for introducing the liberalized exchange rate monetary system was there were lots of controls existing in India for both the retail as well as the wholesale dealers in foreign exchange. For every small reason, you needed permission. The capital accounts and the current account transactions were highly restricted. And though the exchange was stable, monitored by RBI, people could not freely deal in foreign exchange. And this somewhat affected the economy and the overall growth of trade and business. And for this reason, in 1992, RBI announced the liberalized exchange rate monetary system, specifically for providing convertibility to the rupee for all approved external transactions. Those requiring foreign exchange could buy at a market determined rates up to a certain limit. That limit was quite sufficient for doing their required transactions. The basic objective was to make the balance of payments sustainable on an ongoing basis. Let us look at the main reasons for introducing the liberalized exchange rate monetary system. The number one reason was to introduce an element of equilibrium in the imports and exports automatically. When we talk in terms of the capital account and current account transactions, many transactions under the current account would actually be done without specific permissions as was required before from RBI. Likewise, certain capital account transactions were also allowed, certain only required the approval of the appropriate authority. It was also intended to create the flexibility in exchange rate systems, contain the current account deficit at a sustainable level, keep the capital outflows under control and monitor it. This was specifically done by putting certain limits. These limits were subsequently revised and keep the cost of the imported goods within reasonable limits. That was not all. After 1992, there were further liberalization happened in 1993, wherein rupee became fully floating. All foreign exchange transactions, receipts and payments, both on the current and capital account of balance and payments, are the market determined rates. Authorized dealers can retain the foreign exchange surrendered to them and were not required to surrender it to RBI. What are the advantages of the liberalized exchange rate monetary system? It was a step to full convertibility of current account transactions. Even though today the capital account convertibility is not 100%, still there are many capital account transactions also permitted with RBI approvals. Intention of integrating the Indian economy with the world economic system, especially in the era of globalization. It also ensured the equilibrium between demand and supply regarding the external transactions. As we saw in the present context, the foreign exchange rates are specifically governed by the demand and supply. And because of this liberalization, there could be a good price discovery happening in the forex rates, made hawala less attractive, because when there were controls, there was black marketing, there was parallel systems existing, and people tried to utilize or make their own systems for fulfilling their foreign exchange needs. One amongst them was hawala. But when the foreign exchange transactions were actually liberalized, the hawala got less attractive and thus ensured control on laundering of money. It also removed several trade restrictions, like heavy tariffs on imports were actually brought down to a reasonable level by which people could also import as well as utilize the imports for making attractive exports. So exports also increased, imports also increased, the government got revenues as well as foreign exchange. And this is what was the beauty of the liberalized systems rates, monetary system, liberalized exchange rate monetary system introduced by RBI in 1992 with further improvisations in 1993. Next, we move to the euro. Like the liberalized system introduced in RBI, different countries have implemented different strategies. One such important strategy was deployed by the Eurozone in the form of introducing the euro specifically for promoting the trade within the Europe and to also create an alternate currency to the dollar. It was introduced in 1995 and 11 countries agreed to participate. And which were these countries? These were Germany, France, Italy, Spain, the Netherlands, Belgium, Austria, Finland, Portugal, Ireland, as well as Luxembourg. On December 13 and 14, 1996, new exchange mechanism got also introduced between the euro and other EU countries. On January 1, 1999, irrevocable conversion rates were set between the participating countries within the EMU with fixed conversion rates to euro. On January 1, 2002, all contracts were to be converted to euro. National currencies of participating countries would lose their status as a legal tender. So friends, when we talk about introduction of any new idea, euro also had certain advantages as well as disadvantages. Let's first see what were the consequences of euro. Europe today has only one currency, that is the euro. All the transactions are in euro. Old currencies no longer exist, with few exceptions. What are the advantages? The major advantages has created influence in the global market. It has got a common currency for the entire region. And the best part of this is the risk in foreign exchange in the currency that is exchanged in the Eurozone has been constantly brought down. But as we say, all advantages, there can also exist some disadvantage. One major disadvantage is the countries in the region cannot compete against them since the same currency is being utilized and the entire thing is actually governed by the Eurozone Central Bank, and this bank has to consider the actually micro and macro parameters of all the countries together, which might not be possible in practical sense. So friends, with this, which we have reached a conclusion of the chapter. In this, we saw important details about the exchange rate. The exchange rate is the rate at which one currency is exchanged for another. The manner rates evolved have changed over the years, from barter to coins to gold and to rates being pegged either to one currency, a basket of currency, or to supply and demand. All countries and the world agencies such as the World Bank, IMF, are highly focused on movements in rates and the manner of changes made. The latest change that has taken place is the evolution of euro as a currency, Europe's challenge to the domination of US dollars. So with this, we conclude this chapter number 2 on the exchange rate, and we'll enter into another interesting aspect of foreign exchange management in chapter number 3. Thank you.